Hello, world. Hello, world. My name is... Wait, no. How's this go again? Hello, everybody. Welcome to TYH. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nikephoros Foukas.
Hello.
And welcome back to TYH. We have grown older because it's been 4 months, so...
We are always growing older, and the more I think about it, the more I hate it.
Hey, guess what?
What's that?
Joe Biden fell off a bike.
Oh, shit!
Fool was trying to do a tail whip, and he just...
It is over for this presidency.
That was
dude.
The final straw.
Look, the election's going to be overturned. Donald Trump is going to... assume the throne yet again, like he already has been for the past year. The shadow government is going away. The real government is going to come back into the light, and Donald Trump will be the president again. This bike shit, it's over for Joe. He's not coming back. It's done.
Reminds me of that story from, I don't know, a few months ago where it was rumored that he, like, shit his pants at the Vatican. There was this rumor going on around about Putin that I saw on, like, MSN something like a week ago. It says that he carries poop in his, in a briefcase.
Wow, all of these things I definitely believe because the media told me to believe them.
It's like he can't hold it, so he has to shit in a briefcase. I don't know if it was a briefcase, but it was something that he... It was some sort of bag thing. I don't know. Unless that was from, like, a fever dream.
I'll be honest, I didn't see that for myself, but, like... I don't put it past these people to make up any sort of bullshit about anything. So, you know what? Yeah, the media did say... Vladimir Putin shat in a briefcase.
Putin briefcase. Let me see.
He's Putin his shit in a briefcase.
Putin's. This is from. Wait, what? Okay. Putin's poop is collected in small packets placed inside a briefcase by his bodyguards. Here's why.
I don't know, why don't they just dump it in a trash can, no pun intended.
Gosh, that's totally real.
Yeah, definitely real.
It's from the French news. It's what French media says from Yahoo News. I think I probably saw it on Yahoo News or something. I have this,
How are they pronounced? That Yahoo? Yahoo the News.
Yahoo.
Nah, 100% Yahoo the News.
I think I get, what is this? It's like Bing News. What is this? Microsoft News, and it's just, you know, it aggregates every shitty news source, even like very kind of low key ones, and that was on there. Like, collects news from Yahoo News and stupid things like The Root. The Root.
Right.
You know, another thing I found out through the news was that Lizzo's lyrics are ableist. Because...
Really? The fat black bitch?
Yes. She apparently used the term spaz, which is a derogatory term for a retard or more politically correct person with cerebral palsy.
Not in this country.
I know.
It's only politically incorrect in the UK. And Ireland. And that's it. In America, spaz just means...
Spaz.
You're crazy. You're wild. You're hyper. It's... Look, in America, saying you're a spaz is saying you're hyper. Which is, I guess, another form of slang that's more
well,
formal.
Hyper is ableist for people with ADD. I mean, that's fucked up.
Yeah, hyper is just hyperactive.
That's fucked up, dude. Don't say that word anymore.
No, I will continue to say that when I mean it. But she's getting in trouble for saying spaz. Was she in the UK when she said this?
I accidentally clicked out of the article. It was on some stupid, like, shitty news site that, again, from Microsoft News. Like, they get, like, small news sites and they collect them. All the shitty, like, neoliberal things. Including, like, the small ones that no one reads. Or my history. Disability. It's from Sinitian Tina Wang. On. God, this website. What website is this? Come on. Work. Okay, so an ad is blocking this, telling you which website it's on, because it's like, it's through MSN, but it's on ink.com, is that what it's called? Oh, it's like this people of color, like, entrepreneur magazine. Like, anti-white capitalism, but, like, made explicit, you know? Like, you know, capitalism has always been anti-white, but, you know, now it's like, this is... They're just, it's like... strong, queer, three-bodied or three-souled gendered people with small businesses you should support. You know. See, we got important articles like Amazon Prime Day is coming July 12th and 13th. Be prepared.
Oh, thank the Lord we get to live to see another Amazon Prime Day. My life's been reaffirmed.
The sharks rejected her breakthrough product and only strengthened her resolve.
The sharks?
I think it's referring to the Shark Tank, probably. Some.
Oh, some, are you just looking at headlines?
No, this is on ink.com, the like people of color capitalist website for female CEOs.
What does ink stand for?
Like black ink, like black colored, I don't know.
Oh, is it INK?
INC, but I'm just,
The C stands for colored.
Like this. Female CEOs are not paying themselves enough.
Wow. I'm so glad some journalist is going to bat for the poor, poor CEOs.
Not paying themselves enough.
The oppressed CEOs of America. You're really hitting the notes that the American reading public wants to hear right now. Like, the CEOs just aren't making enough.
Yeah, it's, how three black women entrepreneurs achieved industry firsts. Stuff like that. Just like...
Oh, how did they do it? By getting promoted? By Jews?
Selling crack.
By Jews selling crack.
Tiffany Mason, founder of Harlem Pilates. The first...
All right, how black is she?
Yeah,
Tiffany Mason. Is she like a quadroon? Is she a mulatto?
She's either a mulatto or she was adopted or something. Or she like went to NYU and just got totally whitewashed.
Tiffany Mason.
It's not letting me search anything. It says your Bing safe search setting filters out results that might return adult content. So,
she's a porn star.
There must be a porn star named Timothy Mason.
Timothy? This nigga's looking up male porn stars.
Get out. Tiffany.
You heard it here first. Anglo's like a big fan of Timothy Mason, whoever that is. He's probably subscribed to his OnlyFans.
I check someone's Instagram. I don't have one, but I sometimes, you know, people that I knew back in the day that have public Instagrams, I'll look at it, see what they're up to. And some guy had a OnlyFans with his girlfriend, and I wanted to kill myself.
Dude, same.
It's it was just disgusting. Cause
people will commodify their own sexual relationships with the people they love the most because they are that desperate for cash.
Yeah, and
the god of mammon is that overwhelmingly persuasive that you will commodify the love, the very intimate love you share with another person.
Just so some, like, 50-year-old guy from Holland could whack off to your video or something.
Yeah, some, like, pervert from Amsterdam. And it's not worth it. I mean, none of our listeners
young 20-something hipsters have sex with each other.
None of our listeners need to know this, but just it still demands to be said that, like, there's a better life than this. You don't have to do that. You can still have a fulfilled relationship with whomever you're with.
And one way without, to fulfill your relationship, like, is to go to Harlem Pilates with your loved one and this free coupon.
I don't know about that. Maybe Harlem Pilates is what you want to be spending your time doing. Pilates is very Aryan, but maybe not so much in Harlem.
Harlem is in Netherlands, dude, so what's your problem?
Ah, the AA Harlem. How could I forget? Yes, the Harlem that everyone thinks about. The Harlem.
I mean, okay, I've been to the Netherlands, and I actually enjoyed it. I'm a traitor, and I should be shot by Nikkei.
No. Tell me. I want to believe in the Netherlands. I do. I don't want to hate European countries. That's like, all right, like,
maybe
we all like to dunk.
You live in America.
We all like to dunk on the eternal Anglo, but in the pit of my soul, I don't want to hate the UK. I want to be proud that the UK is a prosperous country with a vibrant culture that has provided positive things for the European race. I don't have that, so all I can
certainly
do
certainly not
is,
dental care.
Yeah, so all I can do is be mad at them. And the same applies to the Dutch. What can I say the Dutch has provided the European race in terms of innovations in recent time? You can go there to do any fucking drugs that you want, and you can go there to fucking kill yourself with the help of a doctor. And I look at that and I don't see anything of value. I see something that should be erased. I see something that is abhorrent, and I don't want to see that. I want a redeeming factor to be there. Something that says, hey, this is a part of Dutch culture that's worth preserving, that still exists. I know the best representation of Dutch culture exists in the very conservative and rural people of South Africa, the Afrikaners, who took that Dutch culture and made something worthwhile and resisted modernism. In this century, that faced struggle again from the eternal Anglo, but made the best of it. And they have a lot more to show for a redeemable and honorable culture than the current Dutch people. And that's not to say like Americans are the most fucking pure culture ever. Obviously not. We have a lot to answer for. But I will say that there is a sizable factor of Americans that represent the culture that is worthwhile. That does matter, and that isn't reprehensible. Even the most, I take that back. Let me rephrase that. There is a part of America that has a good culture that's like, you know, simple folk who believe in traditional values, things like this, and they aren't bad people. I want to see something equivalent in that from the Netherlands, and I don't see it. And that's probably a selection bias in terms of what I do see in media.
Just getting, you're like watching Eurotrip. That's your idea of.
I've never seen Eurotrip. But I like the last like expression of culture that I've seen from the Netherlands that was pretty inspiring for me was the farmer protest. No, not Baruch Spinoza. Was the farmer protests in the past few years, where Dutch farmers were like using fertilizing vehicles to spread feces, like manure, on public buildings. They're hogging up highway spaces with their tractors, and showing a formal resistance to the laws that were being proposed, akin to some of the protests of the Yellow Vests. And I liked what I saw there. But I still don't feel like I've seen that genuine, organic Dutch culture. You know, I've only seen the degraded modern culture out of the Netherlands. And if you can tell me about something that's better than that, I'd love to hear it.
I know it's better than Greece. That's all I know. No, I'm not very familiar. I just went there for a few days when I was visiting family in Germany. We did go to Amsterdam, but we were also in smaller towns where it wasn't so shit. Let's just say that. It was just like a small Western European city, you know.
Well, here's a call out to our audience. I want you to show me a genuine side of Dutch culture that I haven't seen before. I want to experience that, and well, even if it's online, I just want to know it exists, and something to give me hope for the Netherlands, where the best hope that I see for the Netherlands is some sort of like modern conservatism that's just a free market, individualistic, you know, not really socially right-wing in any regard. It's just a financial expression of greed, or a political expression of greed. If you can show me something stronger and realer than that, I'd love to see it.
I know we're supposed to glorify traditional culture, but I'm going to say something controversial. I hate those wooden shoes. They're stupid. Why would you wear shoes made of wood? It's fucking dumb.
He's dunking on the clogs.
You know, and, you know, because my mom has like some sentimental connection to the Netherlands, and so like we'd have the the clogs decorating, and she'd have like clogs hanging on the fucking wall as a decoration, because to remind her of the Netherlands. And I'm like, it's kind of stupid. Wooden shoes.
Don't be mean to the Dutch over the clogs. That's the least of their problem.
That's the biggest problem for me.
That's the biggest problem?
I mean, the drugs and the porn's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Anglo's like, the best thing about the Dutch are the drugs, porn, and suicide.
No. Yeah, I think you're perhaps having a selection bias. I think you will be surprised. I mean, I'm not very tuned in with the Netherlands, but I think if you haven't, it's hard for me to talk on any country, or anyone to talk in any country, if they haven't been there. That's just my.
Yeah, and I've never been to the Netherlands. I'll totally admit that.
I've never been to freaking France.
What I assume Canada. What I assume I know of the Netherlands from media is heavily biased towards Amsterdam.
Yeah,
it's being the capital, the big city, you know, the New York City of the country. It gets all of the limelight and all of the media attention, and so what the media presents is, oh, this is Dutch culture. Is what Amsterdam does, and whatever that other city is,
Rotterdam, where they make the
Rotterdam,
they make the
It's Gavin either Amsterdam music. Or Rotterdam. Both of them are portrayed in media as extremely liberal and known for, you know, like we said, drugs, sex, and suicide. I hope there's more to the country than that. I don't know about it, but I want to see it. And if any of our dear listeners can provide me with some resources about it, I really want to learn more.
Though I do recall when I was visiting as a child, for some reason the tour guides thought it was okay to take, you know, my family through the red light district, even though, like, I was there as a child.
What? How old were you?
11.
So you were visibly a child.
Yeah. Along with my sister, my other sister, and my cousin, and I guess my brother was 18 at the time. Or 19. Yeah, we walked through the red light district. I mean, we didn't go get some hookers or smoke weed, but I saw hookers in the window. It was disgusting.
Yeah, you see these whores dancing in the window, and you're like, what is that?
And I'm like, I was kind of like confused. I'm like, they're not white. They're not Dutch. These are like, where do they come from? These people else, you know, I was kind of, you know, still young. And it was just gross. It was just stupid. I didn't
know. You get your pick of Indonesian hookers.
Yeah. Hookers. That's their last name.
Hooker.
Yeah, it. So, I mean, I don't know. I've only really been to that small town and also Amsterdam. Amsterdam was a bad experience. So, yeah, Amsterdam's shit in terms of, like, this the degenerate culture. But that's, it's like NYC, you know? It's like LA. You have, like, these gay bars and stuff and, you know, gay sex shops, like, in San Francisco, like, out in the public. And they're like, yeah. It's disgusting, you know? Any big city over here in the West is just going to be depressing. I could say that I've been to the red light district and I was 11 years old, which is really weird. We also afterwards went to Anne Frank's house, the Anne Frank house, you know. So the true experience, we went to the red light district and then we went to the Anne Frank house.
See, that's where I have my.
I've been to that. I've been
my suitcase full of dumps. I take them beforehand so I can lay them about the Anne Frank house.
It was funny. My grandpa was like, he wanted to just get over with the tour, and my mom and my grandma, they're all like being very sentimental or like very solemn and serious when they were at the Anne Frank's house. And then my grandpa's like, hurry the fuck up, I'm gonna get out of here, this place sucks, god damn, I hate this fucking place, I'm
waste.
And then my grandma and my mom are like, no, this is an important part of history, don't you want to know? Like, nah, I gotta go, I'm hungry. That's just funny.
Grandpa redeems the trip.
Yeah.
Do you want to get into comments from the last episode?
Yes. We're going back to my past. I don't know why we're pulling up things from my past.
Well, I can start. From us, Anglo would like to apologize for the loud nose breathing starting about halfway through recording XD.
It was, I don't know if it was just because, you know.
Maybe you had allergies. Nobody cares why.
But maybe I noticed it more because it was me. It seemed pretty loud in the recording. Like,
yes, maybe you were self-conscious about the recording you edit and post. Big surprise. Zimmerman says, no more brother wars. And then he says, speaking about the German right, I remember thinking AfD had potential like 4 years back, and then looking at them now, it's just another retarded party. And then the High Chief Vercingetorix says, same deal here in Leafland. The PPC, the People's Party of Canada, led by Maxime Bernier.
Isn't that China?
Basically.
PPC? See, Canada's China. Oh, yeah,
People's Party of Communism.
Maxime Bernier. He is from Saint-Georges, Canada.
He's basically like a Steve Bannon.
Né le janvier, okay, I forgot the numbers. Et un avocat, homme d'affaires, homme politique canadien. So he must be a French guy.
Yes, kind of very much so. Then High Chief Vercingetorix says, no discussion. Vercingetorix? Yeah. Historians say Vercingetorix. No discussion of Ausch's terrible take on the German right from a few months ago. Great interview, though.
More like it 2 years ago.
And he says, what did he say? And he says, some spurging about Der Linke. And then Tam says something about boy Poochie.
Poochie? Poochie? That's good.
Yes, thank you, Tam, as always.
That's, I think, if I remember, Vaush was talking about how there's, like, some, like, Nazbol vortex going on in Germany because of nostalgia about Eastern Germany and, I guess authoritarian socialism. I don't know. Like some of the people in the Die Linke party.
Let me tell you this. If there's a Nazbol vortex, it'd be the best suck I've gotten in months. Wow. I fell completely flat. Fuck you.
No, I did that on purpose.
I hate you so much. I know you laughed, but you muted yourself.
I did.
You asshole.
Name's Niels. I'm the cook at the Candleheart Hall. Hearth Hall. That must be something from, like, Skyrim or some shit.
I like this comment. I think the most popular Niels there I've seen in media is from Heinrich Ibsen's A Doll's House.
Yeah.
Niels is the Chad banker who could get any woman he wants just because he's suave. And he's a banker. It's a very Nordic moment where I don't get why you think this way, but sure, yeah, the Chad banker, that's a thing.
Well, if it's Nordic, I'm going to like it more than...
You know, compared to Anglo-American idea of a banker, where it's like, you work at like a... You're just a boring person. You know, you're very methodical. You know, you hate your life. You're a banker. Like, wow. But Niels in A Doll's House is pretty suave.
I'm going on to the next. And actually, it's the final comment from Jonathan Fash. Pasta Hair, Gruppenführer, Permwaffen Division. Enjoyed the guest. Well-spoken man. It's like you're talking about... It's like you're 60-year-old Southerner talking about the black person they saw at the grocery store today. A very well-spoken man. You know when they do that?
In his case, it's a compliment because he doesn't speak English natively.
I know. I always think about that when people say that. He's a very well-spoken kid.
He's a well-spoken gentleman.
Negra.
Yeah, well-spoken negra. Nagra.
Oh, I guess they're probably going French. That's why it goes a bit crazy at the end, you know. Negra. It's like a...
Perhaps. I don't know. Perhaps.
You even got the little inflection going on yourself. Perhaps.
I don't know what you're talking about. I speak a completely unaccented version of the English language.
Me too.
You know, if you're American, you have no accent. You speak proper English.
Proper.
See, that's improper English, to say proper. Because you know what? There's an R there.
Well, buddy guy.
Proper.
Well, buddy guy, here's the problem with that. Boston, they don't have an R either. What do you say about that?
I don't care.
Because Boston sucks. I'm just kidding. I've never been there. It's probably cool. I just wanted to cause some controversy. I'm antsy today, so I don't want to cause any controversy.
I know there's a lot of Greeks in Boston.
Definitely don't want to go there now.
Well, you could say that about a lot of American cities, but I know Boston has quite a few.
Do they have like a German community?
Like Germantown?
I was thinking if what if they became the main immigrant population and the accent was influenced by a sort of like weird German sound, you know?
Hmm. Then it'd be a lot different than it is, because it's extremely Irish.
The crime rate would go down.
Yeah, we can't have these mix going around. It's crime. It's these patties that are causing the violence in major cities, right?
It could be.
I even hate myself. Let me disillusion you of the fact that Irish people are pretty well behaved in the year 2022. And that the contemporary descendant of Irish immigrants is, in fact, berated and victimized by the sub-Saharan Bantu population that afflicts them.
But can Polish people do something more than just, like, holding hay?
It's not my place to judge the capabilities of the Polacks. You know, and that's honestly, that's out of the question. So frankly, my dear co-host, you're out of line putting the Polacks up to scrutiny.
Okay, so let's stop with the hyper-irony. I don't really have any hatred for the Irish, but...
Or the Polish.
No, this is my clarification. Because of my German grandmother, not that I hate the Polish people, but I just can't help but always say something whenever there's something Polish going on. I'm like, goddamn fucking Polish shit. You know, just get like, there's like a fucking Polish parade on TV. That never happens. There's never a Polish
really? Parade. No, come on.
I'm like, goddamn, this is stupid. Look how stupid they look. I just have a
You're way too harsh on them.
No, I like them, but I don't know if I'd ever date a Polish woman. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
I would date a Russian, perhaps.
What about an Italian?
Yeah. Especially when the beautiful Northern Italian. Those sometimes the Southern Italians look really fantastic as well.
So in terms of Catholicity, you date an Italian, but not a Polack.
It's not about Catholicity. It's just they're in the way, man.
Hmm. In the way of the room to grow, so to speak.
I don't really like hate Irish people. Though, okay, I'll stop.
He's about to go off.
I'm just saying because I grew up really good friends with this Irish family. They're like full-blooded Irish, and you know the meme. Like this sort of like Anglophile Nordicist meme from like 100 years ago where it shows like the pictures of three types of people. It has the Nordic Anglo, and then the Negro, and then the Irishman, and the Negro and the Irishman look the same. They like look like monkeys.
Yeah, they both have the elongated jaw.
And
the short back of the cranium.
That's what the that family I grew up with, family friends of us. They're friends, you know. They look like the caricature, all right?
They might look like the caricature, but how many times did they rape your sister or daughter? Zero.
I know.
Okay? I don't care what you think Irish people look like. I love the Irish people because there are people.
And, no, I like Irish people,
and
too.
And they're not black. You know what? They're not black.
Yeah. I just like sometimes doing the pro-Anglo and Germanic posting just because I get annoyed. I don't know. I like stirring the pot up.
Stirring the pot?
Yeah. Calling the kettle black.
Nah.
Well, it's because like everyone's like always so willing to talk about the eternal Anglo or like you know, Protestant Germans being retarded and stuff. But like, I don't know.
I think Prussians get a lot less hate than Anglos.
I meant Protestant Germanic people. Like, oh, guys are all retarded and Protestant. You guys aren't like tuned in with. With Europa, you guys are all fucking autistic Scandinavian warrior fucking Vikings.
I haven't heard that so much. I've heard of a lot of dunking on the Anglos, but not so much the Prussians.
Here's the thing about dunking on the Anglos: you don't realize if you're American, you're so Anglo. Even your anti-Anglo sentiment is kind of like through an Anglo lens. It's like, I don't know. You speak English. You live in an English cultural environment. It's just kind of stupid.
You can say that, but the fact of the matter is English people went to war against English people because they thought they were different enough to warrant such a split.
But like people...
Like the colonists, they were all Anglos. Some of them were Scotch, and some of them were Welsh.
German kingdoms but were fighting each other as well.
They were mercenaries. The Hessians were mercenaries. They were not there to stay.
No, I'm talking about like different people have, you know, nations have fought themselves. That's common.
The English of the like founding stock American people
are the God's chosen people.
Yeah, God's chosen people to found, you know, to rediscover Eden in the North American continent.
Yeah.
They were here and they rejected the motherland Anglo like way of life.
And that's why they're
cursed. They saw it as corrupting and they saw it as oppressive first and foremost. And you think that's why they're cursed?
They fought against the motherland.
And that makes them Hamites?
Or something like that. I'm trying to do some Mormon Christian identity. I don't know.
Christian identity posting.
Those
Hamites like George Washington.
I say this like I think it's maybe because my nickname is Anglo. So everyone always assumes that I'm like some pure Anglo-Saxon guy, and so I feel like I kind of not that I have to stand up for it, but like I could kind of like
see. It makes for better content if you do.
Yeah, and people just like it's easy target. It's like kind of like Anglos. Let's blame the Anglos for everything instead of I don't know your own issues. Maybe you caused that yourself.
Yes, I'm so sorry that I caused World War II by myself. My people were just making to be invaded.
Because England's in control by the English. They control their, you know, they're not.
Yeah, no. Vassal. The real answer that we all recognize is that the Jews have a disproportionate influence over our countries, and they have for a long time. And Jewish influence over the UK. In conflicts like the Second World War are a big part of why the British did what they did. Like Winston Churchill
was not popular.
You know, he had a lot of Jews around him. And that led to, you know, a lot of sources of power supporting him. And that really matters when you're talking about British electoral politics in the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. I'm just referencing this, the general kind of like, I just think it's funny because my mom being German, like I realized just being born in America, how kind of Anglo you are automatically, just the way you think even. It's so influenced by the language and just the culture that you've been raised with, and you don't realize kind of how Anglo you are.
Especially if you're looking at things from a French perspective. The French have a very peculiar trait about them.
It's everything's the same. It's just got like this like weird green tint to it because it's like the smell.
The stink lines like emanating. Yeah, like No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say the French have a particular linguistic view of culture.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think that
where they lump in American culture with the same as whatever the UK produces and other Anglo countries. And so in that regard, Americans are Anglo culturally, but this is a very specific French perspective.
Yeah, I obviously, like, if you're, you know, a fella who's like full blown, maybe that's not the best example, but like if you're a, you know, non-racially Anglo white person, you're still just like you're not Anglo-Saxon, but your worldview is still very Anglo. Even if you don't, even when you're criticizing Anglo, sometimes it's still very Anglo. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's true, especially for like somebody who's entirely Irish American, right?
Yeah, it's
if you've been Irish and your family's been in this country for multiple generations, you probably don't know Gaelic. Maybe you know some, but it's not your first language. Your culture has been entirely defined by the Anglos who, well, okay, no, I take that back. Your culture has been linguistically influenced by the Anglos who founded this country. And in that regard, a lot is descendant from this influence in terms of cultural impact.
Yeah, and just obviously, like, it's a matter of, it's almost like a matter of fact that it's a sad thing, I guess, but we don't really have the ethnic enclaves anymore like we used to in the States.
No, we don't.
You're raised in the suburbs with all the other whites, and we're just kind of, we're not obviously, like, I'm not saying that every white American is an Anglo-Saxon or like connected with England deeply, but I'm saying that there is just a way of thinking and just a whole cultural, because America has historically been dominated by that ethnic group, and it's just reality, you know, and they've kind of formed our institutions. And
yeah, something I would say is definitely Anglo-Saxon in regard to
Shakespeare in school and Beowulf, you know, like a,
if you really care about the Constitution, like as just a normal conservative, that's a very Anglo-Saxon perspective.
Exactly, yeah. And so, like, sometimes when you see, like, the kind of some of the Americans doing the anti-British stuff, like, oh, fuck the British, America, freedom. But it's, like, philosophically kind of really living off of John Locke.
The same people will be like, this is a violation of English rule of law.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're disrespecting our ancient our ancient legalistic principles. How could you do such a thing? Like, oh my god, you care about what was actually written in the text? Oh my god, you're violating our ancient traditions, our ancient Anglo-Saxon traditions.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I don't know, I just think it's, obviously, it might be different if you were raised in actual, both your parents were immigrants, or one of your parents, you're closer to your immigrant heritage, and maybe you're not as Anglo. But I think a lot of Americans, especially if both of their parents are Americanized, it's kind of, you know, anti-Anglo sentiment seems kind of funny because you're so deracinated and kind of Anglo yourself, or like Anglicized, you know?
It's kind of funny here in America because the two people you have that most embody the Anglo-Saxon interpretation of jurisprudence or practice of jurisprudence are Samuel Alito, a Roman Catholic, and another Roman Catholic, Clarence Thomas, who's black.
English was black. Yeah. I'm not even like speaking necessarily on the philosophical level either. Just, I don't know. I mean, there's a philosophical thing, but
there's something interesting. Like I said, the top two people, a black American and an Italian American.
It's and like the whole American first thing. Like America first 100 years ago was like this ultra Protestant, like only Anglo-Saxons, Germans, shitskins, get out of here. And then now it's like Catholic, Irish, and quarter Mexican people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just funny. It's, I don't know.
It speaks to the bizarre experience we have here in the United States.
Life is just absurd.
It's absurd. It makes no sense. You try to draw it to some historical precedents, and all you can come up with is like, okay, the best representatives we have of Anglo-Saxon tradition in terms of jurisprudence is an Italian and a Negro. That makes no sense. Like, let's be frank, that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Italians should be different enough, let alone as somebody whose ancestors came from Africa.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
But is he really Italian anymore? He's just white. Or he's just an American.
You know? Yeah, he's just a white American. Sam Alito.
Yeah, that's what I'm... And I'm that too, but I do think I have like this weird, I'm mostly that, but since I have my German connection, I could kind of see, I can notice that like, even like German Americans are still very like Anglo, and I'm very Anglo too. And I recognize that because there are many of the ways we do things and how we act, they're kind of just different than like my actual German family in Germany. We're noticeably American, you know. Despite being of, you know, racially German or whatever, or ethnically German. I don't know. It's just, I think people. People are funny.
Yeah. You want to take five?
Sure. And I might have a Reese's as well.
Okay.
All right. All right. Back from the break. How was that? Bathroom break.
Oh, the music was lit, bro. You don't even know.
You know what? I want to comment on something that's been annoying me. You can't find peace and quiet anymore in America. Every coffee shop is blaring loud-ass music. The bathroom has loud music. I just want to concentrate and get work done. Where do I do that? At home, the dogs are barking.
Well, if I'm at a coffee shop, I just want to hear the Arctic Monkeys.
Ooh. Yeah, well, the coffee shop I go to do work, it's almost as bad as doing work at home. It's as distracting. It's a little less distracting. So, but it's just like the same 20 songs over and over again. I kind of like know them instinctively now. Like they're ingrained in my...
Too much Chomo Zimbabwe.
Is that a band?
It's Jello Biafra, Chomo Zimbabwe.
Oh. Is he a Chomo?
I don't know, but I'll say it anyway. Surprised. I don't give a damn. If he wants to like fight about it in court, then he can sue me.
It's him. Nikkei. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to deal with that.
It's not him. It's me. I say Chomo Zimbabwe, and if that offends you, sue me.
I don't support this message, even though I don't care. Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like there's probably some philosopher who's talked about that capitalist realism, but this is just crazy. Like how loud, like just how they just blast music everywhere. And there's just not a place where you could just sit down and be quiet. I guess the library, but the library has a bunch of homeless people watching porn on the public computers. I mean,
I went to the library recently and I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, I'm exaggerating, but it's still a lot of unsavory people there. This is disgusting. Generally, at least mine. I have been to very nice public libraries, and those who have, like, still very nice public libraries. You live in a, you know, upper crust city or whatever, or not even that. You just have good demographics. I'm jealous of you. My local library is a bit of a nightmare. smells like, you know what, you guys don't even know what it smells like. Yeah, urine. I don't know, like, do people pee everywhere? Do people pee on the, I don't know why it smells like piss, but it does.
That's awful.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe your public library is better, but I go there actually a lot to go to, sometimes they'll have, like, the book sales, you know, where they sell books for, like, 50 cents, and you get, like, almost every library does that in the U.S. where they have
Yeah, sure. Like where they get rid of their excess catalog.
Yeah, not even that. Just also just like donations and so on. So you could find crazy good things.
The best thing I ever got from a library sale was the Encyclopedia of the Third Reich, which is a great book.
That's good.
Just for reference, like, oh my God, it's so good. You can learn so much from that book.
Well, guess what I found 2 years ago? I may have mentioned it on the podcast. I'm not sure. I was in a different city, and they had like their monthly library book sale thing. And I found For My Legionaries.
Oh, hell yeah. Which edition or which
it was like the one you get on Amazon. So it was a recent one. It wasn't like a rare, like, Liberty.
Was it the Black House?
Yes, that's what that one.
The Black House one is good. Ugh, the hardcover with the Archangel Gabriel on the front.
Yeah, fortunately mine was the soft Michael, cover, but I'm not going to complain, and I got it for like 50 cents, so. Or a dollar, actually. No, it's a dollar. I think the price is still in there. I can remember. Written in pencil, a dollar. And it was like, you know how on Amazon books, because they're print on demand, if you go in the very back, you can see the date it was printed.
Yeah.
It was only printed like a year before I bought it, so I was wondering if maybe someone donated it just to spread the message, or I don't know, someone was based, and it was a recent thing, you know. It wasn't like someone actively went and bought it like 6 months or a year before. It was in the library book sale, which is kind of interesting to me. I was wondering if maybe, I mean, that might be a good little strategy just to drop off at libraries that accept donations, like just based books maybe, and so people can buy them at the bookstore for like a dollar.
Or request that they purchase them from your favorite publisher. If they have a form to fill out that says, hey, you know, acquire this new book. Fill that out. I've definitely done that for various new publications that weren't in my library system that I wanted to read, and I made them pay for it. Believe me, they have the money to pay for a copy of a
especially
book.
Especially if you're at a university.
Like, if there's money to pay for one copy of a book. It's there. Just ask. And the real basis of whether they judge yes or no, unless you have like some dutiful faggot judging the requests, it'll be based on, oh, is there any other copies of this book in our library system that you could borrow from? No? Okay, we'll buy it. And then you're sending money that you didn't spend to our guys to purchase a copy of the book to be permanently included in that library's collection. So what are you waiting for? Make the request today.
Exactly.
If you don't actually know a book to request off the top of your head, go to any of our guys' publishers' websites.
Especially in a few months, yeah.
You know, Antelope Hill, Arctos, Black House, Imperium Press, Taxarchia Press. Go to them and see if their books are in the library system's collection. And if they're not, request it.
If you can't, get all of them.
Yes. Unironically, this. Get all of them. Request all of them. Be the person who sells the most books to these publishers because you are putting in the most requests.
Imagine, like...
You're doing a great thing for our movement by doing that.
Get the hardcover of the book that you got, like, you got the ebook version of. Get a hardcover. Ask them. Request it. Hey, I need a hardcover.
Have you read American Extremist by Josh Neal? No.
Hardcover.
Request it to your library.
Hardcover. Please do hardcover.
Do it tomorrow. Do it today. Go online. Do it right now.
Now, just,
like, just request it.
This is a question for my...
There's literally nothing at risk, okay? You have nothing to risk. This is the least risk you can, like, actually put to your own name. Like, I'll be frank. You can do this to your own name. Just say you request the book. And you can, like, come up with any sort of reason why you want to request this book. Say you just want to read it. Say you're doing a project and you need to research this subject. You can have any sort of plausible deniability. Okay? There's no reason you can lose your livelihood by requesting your local library or university library system request a certain book. Just do it. Do it now.
Yeah. That's... Oh, the question I was going to ask you is, I don't know how this works with public, local, like your local city library. You can do that as well there, can you?
Sure you can.
Okay, I don't really...
It's going to vary from library to library, but just like say, hey, I want to read this book, and it's not in your system. Can you guys acquire it? And the worst they can say is no. Like, straight up, that's the worst they can say is...
What if you have severe social anxiety? No. That's like the worst thing that ever could ever happen to you.
Okay. Appreciate the fact that you aren't doxxed. And you haven't lost your livelihood. They just said no, they won't buy a book so you can read it. Move on with your life. Ask somebody else. Like, the opportunity is out there, and all you have to do is take it. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, well, I think we should transfer over to, I'm going to see the publisher of this, who published this. I was going to do a good transition. We're going to go to Feminist Studies
Journal. Oh, boy.
And this is Nikkei's choosing. I'm not blaming him. He's not, like, searching for this kind of stuff.
I can't take full credit.
But, like,
I have to give credit to
he's not searching for...
Our old stomping grounds. New peer... New real peer review.
So, just read the title.
Siakaka Feminism, African Anality, and the Politics of Deviance in Faka's Performance Art Praxis.
So Faka is an acronym, FAKA.
Do you want to explain it?
I don't know what it stands for, actually.
I don't know either.
I just, because people are just like probably hearing the sounds. Faka, what does that mean? I mean, it's hard to understand either. Like, what's siakaka? I don't know. But yeah, siakaka feminism, African anality. I assume that's in reference to the anus.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So the name is funny. Jordake A. Elephant. Like, he's got a headache because he bought too many Jordans.
Jordan. And if you look at this, a picture of this guy, he's
Pajit. Oh, it's a guy?
Yeah.
And he writes for, like, all these black journals. What a weirdo, dude.
Jordache.
He's not even black?
Elephant.
What a fucking weirdo, dude.
He's a Pajit, and he writes about Afro-Indian experience.
There are a lot of Afro-Indians? Like, is he Afro-Indian? Maybe,
he looks straight up Pajit to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm... Is it, like, Indians who admire Africans, or is it, like...
Look him up yourself, and you give me your opinion. He looks Pajit to me.
Oh, I think he might be, he's not... I don't think he's of sub-Saharan ancestry, but I think he, might have... He's South African, Indian. Indians in South Africa.
He's Pajit.
Yeah. It still doesn't make him black, but...
No, he's not black. He's Pajit. That's what I'm saying. He does not have any Negro genetics in him whatsoever. And he takes it upon himself to be the scholar of... of Afro-Indian anality.
Against, like, he has another book, or this is a book, actually, that he's writing called Against Afro-Normativity. Afro-Indian Intimacies in the Queer Aesthetic of Race in South Africa. I'm glad I did not get involved in academia reading this stuff. I couldn't keep a straight face.
Yeah, sit
in a fucking, like, lecture, because, like, you know, if you're doing that, you have to, like, watch lectures from visiting professors, or one of your fellow grad students is doing a presentation, we got to be there. You know, oh god, let's go to the, let's talk about anality, however you say it. Is there an abstract to this?
There is. In 2015, Faka, a black femme multimedia art collective, emerged in South African art scene, and immediately drew local and global attention to their use of performance art as disruptive aesthetic strategy. Faka consists of two members, Thato Ramaisa and Buyani Duma, who radically imagine themselves in performance as Felaguchi and Kuti, the late Nigerian musician and composer, and the global fashion house Gucci, aka the Italian fashion house Gucci. Fela Kuti is best known for his unapologetic love of sex.
So he's a perv.
Yeah, he's a fag. He's a perv. A sodomite. In his biography, he states that, quote, the most important thing in the human being is that life-giving and pleasurable sensation, sexual orgasm. He's a coomer. He likes nothing more than coom. Kuti recognized that sexual pleasure is a site of intense regulation and condemnation, especially if it challenges heteronormative ideas of monogamy and reproduction. According to Kuti, sex is more... sex is more than politics.
Sex is life.
Life. Wow. Coom is life. I'll just say it as coom instead.
Sex as a multisensorial.
No. It's coom as a multisensorial and life-giving experience essential to Gucci's and Maria's personas and Faka's practice more broadly. Duma's use of Gucci is resignification Signification. Resignification.
Like signified, and so on. Going back to
fucking. Let me start over. No, Duma's use of Gucci is a resignification of power through fashion and aesthetics. Gucci represents a pinnacle of Western fashion, aesthetics, and beauty, which is out of reach to those who exist on the margins of society created by capitalist world order.
Yeah, you guys are really fighting that hard right
Yes,
now.
Yes, with your coom. Your coom is really fighting against the system. Just keep cooming, and the system will collapse. Duma disrupts these hegemonic meanings of Gucci by demonstrating the power...
Someone wrote that down. The hegemonic meanings of Gucci.
Yeah. Duma disrupts...
We're gonna have this subaltern interpretation of Gucci instead of the hegemonic hermeneutics of this.
Yeah, the socially assumed and socially constructed definition of Gucci is so subverted here. Duma disrupts these hegemonic meanings of Gucci by demonstrating the power of their creativity to re-signify their value and worth in the context where African queers, Jordache A. Ilaper, disrupts the relationship between blackness / Africanness and cis normativity through which the authentic African subject is imagined within post-apartheid and post-colonial African state formation. Wow. You, Pajit, thanks to this fag, are going to reimagine yourself as part of Africa. I don't know much about African history, but I don't think it included Indian faggots.
Yeah, and also, like, just the slight references to anti-capitalism, like your whole worldview would exist without, you know, hyper-capitalism that you have now.
So yeah, we have, in the process, Faka's objective is to reimagine black masculinity. The politics of disruption emerges through the positionality of black femininity organized around the bottom/anus. A site of objection in heteronormative cultures, Faka is on a mission to create a living archive through aesthetic and performative practices that include photography, sound, art, music, videos, DJing, performance art, fashion, literature, and creative writing. They performed at the cultural institutions and stages across Europe, Asia, and South Africa, reimagining and refiguring the meanings of blackness. Faka's objective is to disrupt the heteronormative gaze and the violence of heteropatriarchy in order to stabilize the cis-heterotopia of post-colonial Africa. This article examines...
Shit. That.
Go ahead.
No, I was just finishing this sentence. I thought you were going to say this article, and you're going to state your opinion. I'm like, it's shit. This article is shit.
That is my opinion, but I'll finish with what they say. This article examines Faka's articulation of a distinctly pan-African queer feminist praxis, which they have labeled Siyakala feminism. Siyakaka feminism celebrates black, queer, femme, and gender nonconforming Africans in a cis-normative context context that renders them abject. Faka's practice emerges from their experience of displacement in a nation where blackness is intimately saturated with the heteronormative. They do not have access to global trends, brands, or fashions. The name Fela Gucci merges Duma's African and Western influences and aesthetics while demanding autonomy for African queers who who are multiply marginalized.
Autonomy is a Western European concept from the Enlightenment. Anyways, go on.
A FACA's emphasis on fashioning, adorning the body with signifiers of wealth and glamour is best captured by Desire Murea, who quoted in who writes, quote, capitalism gives access to all the artifacts that can have a difference, or that can have a different meaning when subverted. Great.
You have to be so privileged to think you're actually doing something revolutionary when you write this bullshit. You have to live in such a, like, you know,
safe, yeah, you're like, oh my god,
thrust society to actually think.
Thank
that.
Thank God this artifact can be subverted.
Oh, so you're really just...
So I can apply this queer meaning to it that wasn't there before.
That's really, like, doing a lot to end the capitalist system, isn't it?
Oh yeah, you're really sticking your thumb in the eye of capitalism when you say, oh man, I can really queer this definition of South African culture. Wow!
It's so... And, like, these universities are giving you money to, you know, write these things and they pay you to preach this stuff. And you are being upheld by institutional powers, and these institutional powers are based on the capitalist system, so you are therefore being upheld by capitalism. Capitalism is paying you to teach this shit. Maybe it's not actually revolutionary, you dumb fuck.
I hope Negroes like Cyril Ramaphosa oppress you. I hope when they sing kill the boar, they actually attack you.
Yeah.
When they say kill the boar, they actually go for the college students. If this is what you're going to put out to South African culture, then you are the disruption to civil society in that country. And even to the detriment of the blacks there. I mean, anything that's detrimental to the whites is going to be detrimental to the blacks, because the whites have the most functional culture in South Africa. But, you know, if you're going to disrupt even that, the black society that is formed on the backs of the whites who colonized and formed that society, are going to be disrupted. And I hope you face reprisals from it, because that's what you deserve. You deserve reprisals from your government. Anyway, this article ends.
Thank God.
This is also, well, this is just the abstract. This is the way the abstract ends. This is also their way to resist the commodification of their bodies and identities. Dumas pseudonym, Desire Murea, is a reflection of their desire for a better life. One where black queers exist truthfully and authentically without the threat of violence. Well, good luck with that. It's also important to note that the boundaries between Ramasia and Duma and their performance characters, Maria and Guccia, become blurred.
To the
dot dot dot. I can't read the rest because I don't have a membership. Fuck JSTOR.
Yeah, dude. I don't have access to this stuff anymore, really. And I've wanted to, like, read some academic articles about certain subjects, and I just, it's like, you can't get it, and it's like $70 just to have access to
shit. Like, hey, give me $70 for one article.
And this is what they thrive off of. Like, this is how they make money, like, these fucking professors, or I guess maybe the companies that are publishing this, but thereby the professors as well. Like, they're just ripping people off. I mean, academic books are fucking...
It's all through the university system that subsidizes this.
Yeah, and the university
like,
system
hey,
is
we'll
like,
pay for access for 1,000 people, and maybe that's $50 a head. You know, you get $20 cheaper than if all those people sign up themselves. But they'll be like, hey, you know, you'll get X amount of accounts, and it's $20 cheaper, and then they make money on $50 per person instead of $70. and it's not even guaranteed that all 50 people actually use the service.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the problem with a lot of the academic presses I've noticed is that their prices are really expensive. And I can understand that if, you know, print on demand didn't exist. But since it does, you could print any, because all academic presses, if you go down on Amazon, are probably, it's probably going to be print on demand. And so, like, why are you paying $70 for a print-on-demand book that's the same quality as, like, some self-published book by some guy on, you know, on Amazon?
They don't even need to print it. Like, save the paper, please. I'm not going to read it on print.
Exactly.
Like, a lot of the shit I don't want to print out because I just don't need the paper to read it.
But it's just crazy, like, because back in the day, I could understand, like, okay, we have just... We're gonna, you know, it costs a lot of money just to print books, you know, and you had to like kind of estimate how much it's gonna sell, and if it doesn't sell enough, you gotta raise the price or whatever. But like that doesn't matter anymore. You can sell it for cheap because it's like costs you nothing. It costs the same as printing any other book, you know. It's all print on demand anyways, and you're still like overpricing it. Like some of these books go over like $100 you see on Amazon new. For like some book that's going to be the same quality as anything else on Amazon, and it's not even.
Which is why we say, hey, stop looking at these bullshit articles on.
And buy good books.
Like fag.edu and request that your library order books from antelopehill.com.
Yeah,
antelopehillpublishing.com.
And they're not going to charge you $150 for a. Book on black queer studies, you know. None of their books are reasonably priced. A working man can afford them. I doubt a working man can afford black anality, too.
Nobody can afford black anality. The cost of that is way too high. But maybe
the cost is an entire civilization.
Yeah, the cost is like the entire livelihood you know and love and expect to be there when you need to buy eggs for breakfast tomorrow.
I mean, talk about that inflation.
Alternatively, you can afford black anality in print by going to this website and requesting access. Please, for the love of God, do not request access if you don't have it. This is the last person you need getting money from their articles.
Yeah, I mean, inflation.
Oh, don't get me started. I mean, inflation
kind of
has
mentioned
been
it
screwing
a little bit
me hard.
A little bit. Talking about buying eggs, it made me think of inflation. It screwed me so hard, I when I want to get something to eat, I don't, you know, want to make something at home. I'm like, okay, let's go to fast food. Let's look at McDonald's. Oh, it's like $15 for a meal? Well, not really, but like $10. Okay, $10 for a fucking McDonald's meal. Looking at the other places, same type of price range. The only place that's still cheap is Costco. It's like a meme.
Costco futurism. You go to Costco, you get your meat, and you leave.
But you could go get the hot dog for $1.50. The downside is you have to like walk through Mordor, as my friend said, just to get a hot dog, because it's, oh my gosh. I didn't think, Idiocracy, really,
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
It's basically what it is. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I know it sounds so.
Hey, Gavron, welcome to Costco. I love you.
Hey, fool, welcome to Costco.
Hey, fool, welcome to Costco.
We got Dickies and Long Sauce. Hey,
it's Costco, vato.
But it's just, it's very cliche to talk about, oh, yeah, I mean, like, Idiocracy is becoming real. But that whole Costco thing, I don't remember much from the whole movie. Actually, I don't even think I watched the whole thing, but the Costco scene was on, And it just stuck in my mind. I'm like, this, just the brown, everyone in the movie was brown, you know?
And fucking
and
retarded.
Costco was huge, and it was just retarded, and it's just shit. You could buy a bunch of shit. That's what I felt like I was on set.
You could get a latte in Costco.
Do they have lattes?
Yeah, you get a latte.
That's probably from, the name of this black girl that works there. Latte?
No, you get a latte from Starbucks.
Do they have Starbucks in some Costcos?
Apparently.
I don't think that fits Costco's aesthetic.
Nah, I think a lot, like, Starbucks became a stripper joint, and a latte was like...
Oh, you're talking about in the movie?
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch the whole... I just remember just certain parts. I think it was, like, on the background, and I'm just like...
And, like, Fuddruckers became butt fuckers. all this you could find inside of Costco.
You know what's...
The joke was just, like, Costco's, like, Uber Walmart, where it's even bigger.
It's like a country, basically.
It's like its own territory, and like it's got its own laws. And you could find anything from prostitution to commercial sales you wouldn't have expected. You know, subverting the expectations of the Costco experience.
It's very...
Like, in terms of filmmaking, it's like, damn.
Very filmic.
Spot on. Like, damn, my expectations have been subverted of Costco.
You subverted it so hard, you might as well just call yourself Jordink after that.
Yeah, right?
No, it's funny, like, I remember, like, 8 years ago, my incredibly liberal aunt, she's... totally into the Black Lives Matter, like Ta-Nehisi Coates and trans and queer feminine, all that shit. But 8 years ago,
disgusting,
when that wasn't as prominent in the, you know, bourgeois liberal movement, she shared a meme. It's like, look, I didn't know that Idiocracy, it's supposed to be fiction, not a documentary.
Well, get ready for that reality.
But the funny thing is, now I bet you, like, now she would not share that, because then she would be like, oh, wait, everyone was brown in that movie, huh? And it was like kind of like white colonial, like kind of like phallic, like anti, like, oh my god, it's like kind of has eugenic elements. Oh my god, I can't believe it. Disgusting.
Yeah, there was some of that.
It's
there was enough of that to the point where it would make people like that hesitate.
Nowadays, back in the day, they didn't care. Like, they were fine with that because everyone kind of recognizes that. Like, yeah, good, like, smart people should breed and have kids. That was controversial to say, but like, I think now, like, just even saying that's like really bad to say.
Yeah, to imply that President Camacho was a product of genetics is, like, beyond the pale.
That's funny how she ended up, like, supporting it in the end.
Yeah.
She that's the reality she supports. Yeah, because back in the day, like, liberals aren't very elitist, as you know, and I think back in the day they were kind of more... willing to express their elitism and talk about, yeah, only like us smart liberals should breed. But now they wouldn't dare say that. Like, but I can imagine a liberal saying that 10 years ago or something like that. Or like,
certainly.
Only us, like, people who believe in evolution and the flying spaghetti monster should breed, you know?
Okay.
She's Episcopalian. Sorry, she believes in something.
Oh, so they do believe in the flying spaghetti monster.
More like the flying fucking lesbian. I don't know.
Yeah, the flying spaghetti lesbian.
That's a joke, Episcopalians.
It's not a joke. You need to change religions. Episcopalianism is not enough to redeem you in the 21st century. You need to find a better religion. If you're an Anglican, fine, that's good. But if you're an Episcopalian,
that's so like, yeah,
you need to save your soul. Okay, your soul is in danger. It's not safe where you are.
And anus too.
Your anality is in jeopardy. Please seek refuge in a different denomination.
Remember, like 2 years ago, there was that a guy, like a UCLA or USC, something like that, professor died at a gay sex BDSM orgy.
Oh, because he was electrocuted.
No, it was like he suffocated because he was like mummified or something weird.
No. He was mummified and electrocuted in the asshole. And
I don't remember that detail.
And he was fried to death in his cast coffin. And they found him fucking dead. His eyes exploded.
Holy shit! I didn't know that part.
It was fucking gory, dude. They did not know the kind of sexual trauma they were putting him through. And they put a cattle prod in his asshole while he was mummified. And he fried. And he blew up. It was gross. It was disgusting. It was absolutely horrific. I don't know why you brought it up.
I'm bringing it up because the guy that ran that sex party.
It's like the peak evil.
The guy that ran that sex party was like some priest and some like weird gay, like Episcopalian something or other. And like he did lectures on like Episcopalian BDSM or something like that.
I don't remember that, but it's altogether possible that's true, but
maybe not Episcopalian, but like some like weird.
Get
like,
the fuck Unitarian, out of that church, please!
Unitarian gay love church, you know?
I'm begging every listener, if you're part of an Episcopalian or Unitarian church, please leave. Please. I don't care what you go to. You're better off not going to church than going to that. Because at least you won't end up with a cattle prod in your anus that explodes your eyeballs inside of a cast. Join a church that's better than that. Please, please, please. I'm absolutely begging you. Anything. And if you want advice, become Orthodox. But if you want, like, the bare minimum, like, don't be that. You can be, like, some extremely normie tier Baptist. And as long as they don't tell you to stick a cattle prod in your anus, you're doing better than where you are right now.
I found an article from when it happened. It said, I think the guy's name that died was George. It said, George, who preferred not to use gendered pronouns, had been mummified.
George Floyd.
Had been mummified in plastic wrap as a part of a consensual sex play. Or no, as a part of consensual sex play that also involved a chastity device and chains.
Oh, they don't mention the cattle prod.
It just says that there were defibrillator pads on George's chest and George had suffered broken ribs consistent with having received CPR. I don't see anything about like, his eyes exploding. I didn't know about that.
Maybe I remember that part very distinctly.
My goodness.
These were horrors from years ago that are very real, and if you're just tuning in to us now, like, please believe us. Okay. Really awful, horrific shit had happened. And it's like, churches don't save you. God saves you. I believe in that.
Well, here's the thing. I found the guy's name that I was talking about, the guy that ran the BDSM stupid party thing. His name was Skip Chasey. Does that sound familiar?
No.
But anyways, he's a performing member of the Magic Castle and is an active member of Metropolitan Community Church Los Angeles. And I think he even
wonderful. was a active member.
I think it kind of like changed after that guy fried in his dungeon.
His cast.
Yeah. But this is on leatherpedia.org.
Christ.
He would he would do lectures on like leather play at like these at this church or something. I don't know.
Look, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You live by the cattle prod, you die by the cattle prod. It all comes full circle.
Jeez, man. I did not know about his eyes exploding. That's disgusting. That's fucked up.
I remember that detail so clearly. I don't know who reported that detail, but I remember it. Look, I didn't see the guy's body. I wasn't there at the fucking fag orgy. I just remember how the media I remember how the media described it, and what I remember was this guy's eyes fucking exploded in a cast, and nobody knew till they cut the cast because he was dead long before they knew he was dead.
Why can't people just like have sex with women and just like do it for?
Yeah, why can't you just like fuck a pussy and come and be done?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand this like whole rigmarole of like suffocating and leather and.
I have to fucking bound you in fucking your cast and make you come by electrocuting your asshole. Like, you know what's good enough for me? Just like
hug this.
Having a vagina.
I know.
That's good enough for me. That's all I need. If you were born with a vagina and you like want to like a loving relationship where you have respect for each other because we're both like decent human beings, like good, that's great, that's enough. You don't need to like constrict yourself in medical wrappings.
Yeah.
Till you suffocate to death and I kill you with the power of electrocution. It's so gross, dude. This is how they live. This is how these faggots actually live. Like, to us, it's parody, but to them, it's reality. That's how sick it is.
They don't have any, since there's no, like, institutional organizations stopping them, or there's nothing, there's like no one stopping them doing their, you know, stopping them to commit their degeneracy. It seems like they never have like that moment of like self-awareness, because it's just like a child just like being able to do whatever they want. And it's like,
perhaps the moment.
But to me, I'm like, if I like start wrapping myself in leather and like, you know, cutting myself or something like that, isn't that like, wouldn't you just like kind of like think about it beforehand? I'm like, it's kind of weird.
Perhaps the moment of self-awareness is right before their eyeballs explode. And in that moment they think, oh my god, I've made a terrible mistake. That's the sound of their fried eyeballs blowing up within a cast.
Well, my name is Anglo, and with me I have Nikkei.
Thank you for listening.